When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is a Phonic Media production.
Hey, friend. Today on the podcast, we're navigating some big decisions in life and business. And we're taking you along for the ride, whether you like it or not. Hey?
I like the shimmy.
You like it? Oh, my man tits. Wobbling about in my t-shirt. Hey! Welcome back to the podcast, the number one podcast, still the number one podcast recorded in this living room, and hey, also in the top 200 comedy interview podcasts in Albania last week.
Wow.
So,
and no, big news, in the top 2.5% globally.
Oh yeah, it is actually.
That's actually a pretty
that
big
is
deal.
Good. Oh, I haven't got any rounds of applause. I should. There we go. There you go.
Hey.
Well done, us.
I mean, I don't know where they get their numbers from, but hey, we'll
fuck
take
it.
We will take it.
So welcome along to the podcast. Today on the pod, we are talking about navigating decisions in life and business.
Sometimes you don't articulate your words. Say that again, because that was just like... Today on the that's all I hear.
Today on the pot.
That's probably... Pot. On the pot.
That's like I said. Oh my God. Today on the pot. Guys, do you want to tell everyone?
Just say that line and then we'll tell everyone.
Today on the podcast, we're talking about navigating big decisions in life and business.
Right, thank you. Better.
Better.
So,
better.
Confession is that I was getting ready upstairs.
Hold tight, hold tight. Guys.
I was getting ready upstairs. We haven't
live
had this for a while,
injury.
Oh my goodness. And I went to walk out my bedroom and you're going to cringe.
Our bedroom. She doesn't
our
got my bedroom.
Bedroom. And I've whacked my little toe, you know, like on the corner of the bed.
Oh.
So it almost like split and I felt it like...
You're so... This is you to a T.
I felt
my
it
friend,
like...
My toe like split. You've stubbed your toe.
But I have this...
You fucking stubbed your toe, that's
so,
it.
So I don't think I've stubbed it. I've like pulled the... My,
you
like,
have.
Ripped it out of
you
its
have
socket.
A ripped it out of its socket.
Oh
it's
my
not,
God. Honestly,
you can still...
It is so painful and I'm sat here now and my toe is throbbing. And the thing is, I've got this really annoying thing where if someone hurts themselves, I go, just think no pain. So rather than being like, fucking fuck, I just sat on the bed, held my foot and was like, just calm down. And now...
She's so zen.
It is so painful.
So she's battling through, guys. She's battling through.
Do you know
through.
The worst thing, though? It made me look at my feet and then I was like, I used to have really nice feet and now my toes just look all weird. So I don't know if I have actually broken it or if my feet are just... Not that nice as
well,
they used to be.
There you go, guys.
Anyway,
so
big decision.
If you hear any like, or if Hayley's not in her A game, it's because she's not just stubbed her toe, she split her toe.
It's
says,
so
upstairs
painful.
In my bedroom, I split my toe.
And then I said to James,
she stubbed her
oh,
fucking
I
toe.
I wish I could tell you how painful it is. He went, you're giving it a good go, though, aren't you?
Fucking were though, wouldn't you?
Anyway, hello. I think we need to go straight into
5 minutes
our,
later.
Review of the week.
Let's have a review of the week. So today's review of the week. Hey, by the way, if you'd like to get a shout out on the podcast, you can do so. All you got to do is leave us a review, either on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or anywhere else. Fuck it.
Wherever.
But today's review of the week came from YouTube. The old YouTube. This one is from Ian Collins. Big shout out to Ian Collins. Thank you for the review. 5-star review. This podcast has everything. Exclamation, 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 space, unneeded, informative, space, space, comma, don't need it, insightful and funny. It's perfect for visual and audio media. Wow, this is a fucking review and a half, isn't it? Positive Hayley has a great laugh and very pretty to watch on YouTube. And Beast James has a face for radio.
Yeah, I'd say that. How face for radio.
Anyway, a quality programme. Keep up the good work, guys. We appreciate it. So, big shout out to Ian Collins. 5-star review of the week.
Hey. I've got to read this one out. You know we love our hatred as well. This one just cracked me up.
YouTube haters,
getting up in our face. And it's another Simon. I'm sure we've had a Simon before. It could be the same one.
Is it all... If you're a dickhead and you're called Simon... Email or get in touch with us via Instagram @businessmarriagepod and just say Simon Dick. Just send and a Simon
his,
Dick.
His review is literally, it just says, this is why people shouldn't be allowed to have podcasting equipment.
Oh,
so I'm actually
going
to call it a meow. They went, meow.
Oh,
meow,
sorry, Simon. Sorry, Simon, you little...
Can't say that. Sorry, Simon.
Sorry, Simon.
Don't fucking listen.
If you don't like don't it, don't watch it, you fucking arsehole.
Move on.
Move on, Simon.
Move on.
Hey, Simon. Hey, Simon. You like that?
Anyway, so today we're talking...
Simon.
Today we're talking about navigating big decisions in life and business, because at the minute, in our business...
Excuse me, Simon's not even got a logo. He's just one of them shitheads that's got like a Google account. Fucking Simon. S for shithouse.
I don't know if we like to swear with our fingers.
S for shit. I do.
Of course you do.
My brother, do you know why? I don't know why. Less, one finger feels like worse than two, doesn't it? Like, two's like, oh, fuck off. One's like, fucking do ya!
Right
out
there.
Right there!
Oh, God.
Oh, it's a strong
anyway,
start to show.
Anyway, moving on.
It's because so, yeah. Blame the pain, isn't it? Blame the pain.
Okay, actually, that helps. So I'm not thinking about it. Now I'm thinking about it. So, yeah, navigating big decisions. So, in the business, we've got so much going on. I am at the point where I need to basically pull up my big girl pants and take it to the next level.
Pull up and take it, exactly.
Oh God.
Pull up and take
you know,
it to the next level.
Some people have actually emailed me to say that you just come across like a sex pest. Just saying. I'm at the point where I need to start thinking much more strategically in my business, because as much as I love what I do and I love being in control and being flexible with my time, etc., I'm getting to the point where it's like I actually can't flexible. Take on much more work. So
can't take on any more work.
James sat down and was like, right, that's it. I'm putting an advert out for you. We're going to recruit a new employee. So I'm very excited. We've shortlisted five, haven't we?
We have.
They've got amazing skill sets in social media, design,
yeah, graphic
website
design. Websites.
So it's a big step for me, guys, but I just thought I'd share where I'm at, because I'm guessing there might be people listening. Maybe you've not taken on your first employee. When I say employee, I'm not actually employing them through the business. I'm going down a freelancer model, because for me, it's a good way that
no,
I can...
No, you're not.
Scout.
Oh, my fucking God.
Not?
No.
Oh, right.
They're going to work for you full time.
Oh, okay. So, oh, I pay them wages through the business.
What did you think you were going to do?
I thought they would just be paid as like a freelancer. It's good that we know
no,
this.
No, fucking no, you employ them.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. So I am going proper full employee
yes.
mode.
Yes.
Okay, I need to look at that then.
Yeah,
that...
so you need to put a wow. contract in place. Maybe you get them yeah. sign an NDA and, a,
oh,
and all that
yeah.
stuff.
So we were going
non-compete
through.
Non-compete clause.
So James put the advert out there and was like, right, we just got to do
fucking
it.
Fucking hell, I'm going to have to do the whole thing by the sounds of
I know,
it. Jesus.
And then the other night he's like,
fuck,
right,
I've done a freelance
on.
Model. The exact opposite thing that you're doing.
That's what I thought I was doing. That is
did
so
you?
Funny. Yeah.
No.
But like a full-time freelancer.
But that's not a fucking freelancer, is it? They work for you full-time.
Yeah, but if you go on the payroll, you've got to do like pensions, all that kind of
not
stuff.
Not if they're not in this country,
oh,
you don't.
Okay. All right. I'm learning. Always learning.
Wow. This is an educational
so
podcast now.
Our Friday night.
Oh, it's Friday night. We're going to get freelancer. It's Friday night.
What was that
world.
Song that girl brought out? Friday. Gotta get up on Friday.
Yeah, she made like... millions
awful
out of it.
Song. Anyway, so Friday night, Jane's like, right, we need to sit down and go through all of the CVs. Oh, my goodness. So I think there's a lot to be said about, you know, you don't... I think they say now, don't they? Like, often they say with CVs, don't submit a photo. You should know nothing about them. But the great thing when you're looking for someone who has, like, design is you can tell straight away. So James was just pulling them up, and I'd look over his shoulder, I'd look at their portfolio, and I'd just be like... No. And you were laughing your head off, weren't you? It was like the easiest. I was like, don't even have to think about
it. To be
it.
Fair,
no,
though,
no,
in
no,
that kind
no.
of in that kind of instance,
yeah.
it is really easy to tell who's right and who's not, because if they haven't, if they can't make their CV look nice,
yeah,
and
then
if their,
like,
if their, what do you call it, a portfolio yeah. doesn't look cracking, then you're like, oh.
But it's a big step,
that's
right?
That's your best so, shop window, because that's effectively what it is. Your CV used to be your shop window,
if
now
it
like
looks
your portfolio
like
is.
Clip art from like the 90s.
Yeah,
fuck
probably,
off.
Probably not.
No offence, but no.
Probably
nah.
not.
Doesn't
no.
cut it. Doesn't cut it. But there are some big learning curves. Number one, it's like, I think when you run your own business and you're at the point where you're a micro business, it might just be you. you do get used to doing everything yourself. And it is very hard to almost, not in a big headed way, but it's almost hard to take that step back and think that someone's going to come in and be better than you.
Oh, God forbid someone's better than
No, but because
Hayley
you're so used to
lambs.
Doing everything, it's like a control thing.
Yeah, 100%.
So you almost feel like, I can't imagine almost like delegating this work to someone. I feel like I'd have to handhold them and like tell them exactly what they need to do. But the truth is, they'll probably come in and be better than me.
Yeah. But that's what you recruit for,
fantastic.
Isn't it? Yeah.
And it's funny because I've been going around thinking, I just need like another me. And then I think it was you. And a few others are like, no, you don't need another you. You want to bring in someone who's better at something than you are. And I'm like, exactly. So I don't know. It's just a really...
It's very uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. But like for you now, you know, with a team of people, all with individual skill sets that probably exceed your skills in those particular areas.
Yeah, 100%.
Like you can grow and you can scale, you know, you can leverage that expertise. Like, so for me, it's just a massive growth zone, but one that I know I need to go through.
They often say, don't they? I don't know who they are. Who are they?
Who are they?
But they say you should recruit just before you're ready.
Yeah.
So like you were saying, oh, I don't think I need someone full time. That's exactly the point. Yeah. You need someone full time. Yeah. And you do.
I do.
Because like a lot of the sort of the traditional, I guess almost like, conventional wisdom in the UK is like, you know, don't do a £10 an hour task. You know, don't do a £10 an hour task. It's beneath you. Don't do a £20 an hour task.
Which
is fine.
Which is great.
But if you've got some other activity that's going to make you more than £10 an hour, if not, do your own fucking washing. Do your own fucking cleaning. Like, don't get somebody in to do shit that you can do if you're not spending the time doing something more valuable.
Yeah.
But you have got to the point now where you just need somebody else. You're going to have to take on somebody else because you've absolutely maxed out. And when you get to, you could stay as a one-woman band, one-person band, one-they-them band, whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the only way to then scale up your prices or your profitability is to charge more money.
Which is kind of not what I want to do.
And you've kind of fucking rinsed it, haven't you, from where you were at.
But that is a thing that people say to me, or, you know, you could earn more money and work with less people, which I get. But there is also, I have to remember my value of how I went into this business.
Yeah.
And some of my values are, I've seen people being charged extortionate thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds to build out a website. And I just think it's crazy. I just think
also,
it's crazy.
Also, it's the sort of people that you want to work for. So,
like,
yes, it's your value of what you want to be able to deliver your clients. But also, there's a certain demographic that you like working with, which is that sort of start to scale up.
Love it.
Entrepreneurs.
It's exciting.
Who can't spend £10,000 on a website and shouldn't spend £10,000 on a website because they don't fucking need to.
No.
You know, because it's just a shop window. Yeah. But so for you, you can't scale up the price of your time.
No.
So then now you have to buy in more time. Yeah. And that's effectively what you're doing.
And also, if I'm honest as well, it is that feeling.
Well, be honest, babes. Let it all out. Be honest, babes.
Because I get so close with my clients in a nice way. Obviously, because I work with them on branding, it quickly moves over to like marketing because we do like organic marketing together. And then I can almost see like so many areas where I could help them. And I know bits about a lot of things. And if I have someone in my team that is actually an expert in these areas, then I actually see it as like I can offer more value to my clients as well. So it's a win-win. So that's where I'm at. It's a big decision for me, but I know it's the right one.
But here's what's really interesting, that you've already taken sort of half the step because you have got a genuine freelancer who's here in the UK.
Yeah.
But actually, you can very easily, and for not lots more money, can quadruple 10x the time that she spends on the business by bringing somebody full time.
Now,
what we're talking about here is we're looking to get somebody in who is overseas.
Yeah.
And it just works on the scales of economy globally.
Yeah.
You get people who've got, you know, super qualified, they've got marketing degrees, masters, like some of those people that you've qualified or shortlisted, they've got master's degrees
incredible.
In communication. Yeah. Like, they are amazing what they do. They just happen to live in a place that's a lot cheaper to live in.
Yeah.
So therefore, you can pay them, you know, $600 to $800 a month, which is really good money over there.
Yeah.
And you're getting someone amazing. But it also, and this is what I think is really important for business owners, it almost, it's that halfway house.
Yeah.
And it protects you because you haven't got to have pensions, PAYE, tax, national insurance and all that kind of stuff. So you don't need to do those bits, but it gets you in the framework of
having
the mentality of having an employee.
And I was a little bit against, being honest, I had this, I really wanted to keep it as a UK-based business. But the people that I've met they're all kind of running their own freelance business, and I just couldn't make the financial numbers work without, like you say, going down that route of like really putting my price up. Mm-hmm. So for me, at the minute, this is a good kind of initial step into
this is what I did as well. Growing the company. You know, before I had people in house, I had seven, had one person, in, had one person in house, and then one, two, three, four. So there's two of us in the UK and four in like dotted about.
Yeah.
Then at one point there was two of us in house and seven freelancers. And you basically get to the point, and this is what I did. I got to a point where, right, have I got stability of cash flow for the next, like, 3 months? Right, well, let's bring somebody in and release two freelancers.
Release them back into the wild.
Release the freelancers. but then not use them.
Yeah.
But then you're using, okay, it's a weird one because you've stopped maybe two people's salary and brought in one person. So actually you've effectively cut off half of their time. But because you've got them in-house, in London.
Why is it every episode?
Guys.
Oh, no.
No, what happens is, right?
I was going to say, why is it every episode we have this? Where I honestly feel like I'm blanking over.
So you have two freelancers, one person in-house. So now you think, well, hang on, you're getting half the work done. But what you're not considering is geographical scales of economy. What do I mean by scales of economy? So,
James,
when you're in-house, no. So basically, but when you're in-house, you can look over someone's shoulder and go, I'll change that a little bit.
Looking back
over my shoulder.
Love a little sing song.
But you can go, oh yeah, tweak that, do that and move that around a little bit. Yeah, that's good to go. Whereas when you work with freelance, and you will find this, there is a lag of time. And sometimes there is, fucking, how loud is that plane going over the top? Is somebody like putting another runway down the fucking road they didn't tell us about? It's probably because we're so popular these days.
It's probably someone just trying to
look through and go, oh, hey, that's where all that happens.
Yeah, hello.
But yeah, so for example, with graphics, you'll have to wait. You know, they'll do the graphics, then they'll send them to you. Then you'll have to give them feedback. Then you'll have to get that feedback back. Then they'll have to resend it and send it back across to you. But there are different ways. And again, you've got other platforms and softwares now.
Yeah.
Platform and software. Things like Zyflow. Shout out to Zyflow.
Don't talk to for me about sign software. Off. Yeah, no, it's good.
So that means that before they finish the thing, you can see it and you can give your feedback in one place. So that's really useful.
Zyflow.
But what you're going to find now, and other people that are about to maybe take their side hustle into their full-time thing or take on their first members of team, you will stop spending your time on the work for clients, and then you will replace that work temporarily, and it's a fucking pain in the ass, but it's only temporary. You'll replace that by teaching other people what to do.
Yeah.
So you'll go from doing the work to teaching someone else to do the work. And then you'll be like, well, I'm not saving any fucking time now. And you won't for the first month.
I have an amazing friend, Siobhan Mears. She's also been a client of mine.
Is she
mine.
A friend? This has made it mystical now. Is she a friend? A like, lover?
What is she? A friend because she's also someone that I've done a coaching program with, but she's also been a client. But I'd like to refer to her more as a friend.
Okay.
You could call her she's my friend.
You could call her a client.
But
friend
basically,
client.
She is a online business manager, strategist. And we were talking the other day, and she said about how it's so important, even if you're like a one-man band, to document how you do everything you do in your business.
She's so right, yes.
So like a workflow, so like a document, so that anyone could, in theory, open that document and it would have links to everything that they need. I mean, I've never done it, but I was like, that's so true, because if you have it all there and you bring someone in, straight away you can hit the ground running. So like for me, for example, one of my big things is like, how would I get out of my head, like all the clients I'm working on, like this is their brand, this is like the ethos behind it, this is the kind of mood board, this is like, do you see what I mean? And I'm like, it's a no-brainer.
You have a playbook.
It's like, here's the brand kit, here's, do you see what I mean? Yeah. And it's like,
or
when
you do
she
like a little
that,
Loom
I
video
thought,
per
great.
Person. She's so right as well, because that's what she does, isn't she? She helps
the Mears Collective.
Online.
Go and have a look. She's great.
Oh, we're giving her a shout
out.
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah, she's great.
Just an impromptu shout out. But I thought, what a great idea, and it's so simple. So I'm going to do that as well, as I move forward, because then as I bring people in.
Be ready, though, to be frustrated.
Be ready. I'm ready.
Because it is frustrating. The first couple of months is frustrating. But then you get to a point where, like last week, for example, I was out recording like 3 days all the time.
Yeah.
But I can do that. It's not like I'm having a jolly up. Do you know what I mean? But I also know that the day-to-day client work is being done while I'm not there.
Yeah.
So then I remember... a friend of mine who's also a client, again, like a Siobhan.
Friendly.
A friend client, who was the former CEO of Thomas Cook. Nice. And I remember him saying to me, I said, what's the most difficult bit of your journey? So he opened his first shop when he was 19.
Wow.
And he ended up, when he ran, not Thomas Cook, what's the other big one? Like Air Tours Group. Yeah. He had 1,000 stores and 12,000 staff.
Whoa.
And I said, what was the biggest challenge? He said, honest to God, hand on heart, still the most difficult step is one shop to two.
Wow.
One shop to two. And I think it's the same with employees. Yeah, one employee to, no employees to one, is going to be the biggest jump because you have to, it's a mentality shift. It's a change in your mindset on how you distribute jobs and relinquish control. Because he said, once you've given up control to somebody else in another shop, you could just then do it again and again and again. So what you'll find now is that you can get your person to a certain place and then they will get fully busy.
Yeah.
So then you bring somebody else in. And either you train that person or they train that person.
Oh, I'm excited.
Exciting times. Should we do a little bit of a small business shout?
Shall we?
Yeah, let's do a small business shout. Okay.
Okay,
this is not a small business shout, is it? Sorry about that. Here you go. Small
business.
It's been so long since you've done one of these, guys. I can't even remember how to do it.
Yeah, we've got a bit right, the last few weeks.
It's Father's Day yesterday at the time of recording. I had a lovely little day.
Didn't you? Wasn't it the dream day? The day you've always dreamed of? We went to the Harvester. It was lovely, apart from their aircon didn't seem to be working, but it was a really nice day.
Oh, the dirty double bird burger, though. Unbelievable. Most uncomfortable point was hearing your dad ordering, though.
I love the double. Old school. But we went on holiday with mum and dad this year, and we went to a Harvester because it was really easy. And the kids just love like the whole salad bar. So I thought, okay.
Anyways, get veg in the kids. Do it.
Book Harvester with mum and dad. Great fun. But on the menu, I just thought it was funny. It's like the Dirty Bird Burger. And it's just listening to my dad order the Dirty Bird Burger.
He kept referring to it as well. I think I'm going to get the Dirty Bird Burger. I'm like, oh my God.
Do you think the waitresses just like do that on purpose? They're all like sniggering around the back.
It's absolutely delicious, to be fair.
I didn't have it. It was nice.
It was very, very nice.
It's very nice.
Shout out to the Harvester. Small business.
Not small business at all. So this company, I've got to shout them out. So they're called Roy's Boys. And
I haven't got them. You keep talking. I'm going to go get some. Quick, go.
I think they're on the stairs.
Go.
So basically, for Father's Day, I ordered James a gift and the two boys, it's like matching socks. So what they do, I'll read it here. So they're Roy's Boys is a character gifting brand that offers premium quality sustainable gifts. Their forte is bringing fun designs for kids and adults, not just for boys. So basically, you go on their website and it's things like Peppa Pig, Bluey, all of these different children's characters. And they make like socks, pyjamas, swimwear. You can buy them in like adult size and kids. So your whole family can have their own version.
So these are my Bluey
socks.
If you're a dad or a parent of small children, you probably have watched Bluey.
Oh my
if
God,
you haven't,
the best
do yourself
show
a favour. It's
ever.
Hilarious.
So they've all got matching socks. And I just think it makes such a great gift.
It came
so
in like a little ever, peg yeah, and
it comes in
wrapped.
A really nice... like an eco-friendly box, packaging, no plastic. So if you're looking for gift ideas, go check them out. So it's www.roys-boys.com.
What a brilliant, brilliant
Love
little
them.
Gift. The little George's little sockies. And they got a little peg in there. Oh, it's too cute. Anyway, shout out Roy's Boys. It was fantastic.
Love
Thank you for making Father's Day. So there we go. Some more bits of shout out. Right, what are we talking about now? Oh, here we go.
Wow, so...
Small business done.
So we spoke about, obviously, navigating big decisions in our work. And I thought, well, why not look at life and the big decisions that you face in life? Like, who are you going to spend the rest of your life with? How do you know if, you know, when do you know the one is the one?
Yeah.
It's a big decision, right?
I think with like big decisions, they're probably made up of lots of little decisions over time, isn't
almost
it?
Almost like, can't bother to go out on the dating scene again. Yeah, go on then. Like that.
Is that how you thought about it?
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
No, I'm joking. But jokes aside, you always thought that I was the one, didn't you?
Yeah.
Didn't you see like, I'm not making this up, didn't you see like a psychic or someone?
No, I probably told you that at the time.
And they were like, oh, I can see this woman, she's got brown hair. That's what you told me.
Did I tell you that?
Yeah.
I was probably blagging you, to be fair.
Really? No, you didn't tell me to, like, get me to go out with you. God, you're not that good. Do you not remember that?
Didn't have to try that hard either, did I? Oh, yay!
You did, yeah.
No, I didn't.
For months and months. I wasn't interested for ages.
Shut up. You well fancied anyway, me. You well fancied me.
No, you didn't. Do you not remember that? You
admit it, because else now
yeah,
I look like
I did.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Do you honestly not remember that you told me that?
I can't
remember
that.
I'm sure you'd seen a psychic.
Or, why would I have seen a psychic when I wasn't with
someone
you?
Someone had said, like, I see you being with a woman. She's got brown hair. And you were with a girl at the time who had brown hair. And you were like, no, not her. No, you don't remember?
I don't remember that.
Oh, great story. Great story, guys. No, but seriously.
Did I tell you that, though?
You did.
All right.
But seriously.
I think, like, I might have lied to you.
That is such a big thing, isn't it? Like, making that decision of who you're going to spend the rest of your life
but again,
with.
I mean, don't
suppose you're not necessarily going, oh, I'll spend the rest of my life with you.
No, it's like I'll knock about with you for a bit. I'm still thinking that now. I'll knock about with you for a bit and see what happens.
Still get bored.
Do you notice, by the way, Hayley made the cup of tea today. So if my mug looks absolutely filthy, by the way, I'm embarrassed by it.
I don't even know why. I've just sat here licking all the tea stains off the side. I was like, that looks nice.
You're disgusting.
It? Licking it off.
Yeah, but I don't think I don't think there's ever that, like, one big leap, is it? I think that's almost like grandiose. The movies make you think that.
Yeah.
Life.
Maybe I watch too many of those.
Yeah,
sort of movies,
I think you probably do.
But when we got engaged, we'd only been together, was it a year? Were we living together? Can't even think.
No, we weren't.
I don't
no.
think we were living together there. And we'd gone away on our first holiday to Ibiza, do you remember?
Yeah.
And we'd gone out this night and you were so nervous. You were being really odd. And I was like, what is going on?
Because I had like a 1300 quid ring in my pocket.
And
that was
like,
a fortune
at the time. And I was like, you're being really shifty. And then I started clocking on, like, is something happening? And then we were walking back, weren't there? And there was like a little inlet to the beach.
Yeah.
And we got on the beach. And honestly, as soon as your foot touched the sand, you were like on one knee and asked me to marry you.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, go on then, all right.
No, you were like, I can't believe it. It's the best day of my life, yeah.
I wasn't, though. That's the thing. I think I was more shocked than anything. And we'd only been together a year, hadn't we? And I remember just being like, this is weird. Not weird,
wow.
As in...
No, how romantic.
Sounds bad, doesn't it? No.
The reason I was cagey that day, though, is because we went to Ibiza, we'd flown in that day. And we'd flown in, like, early in the morning, and our room wasn't ready.
Yeah.
So we couldn't...
You all, like, panicked.
So, yeah, because I had this ring. And again, at the time, it was a fortune. I was like, well, how do I get it through security? So I had it wrapped in a tissue in my pocket. But, like, obviously, you have to go through security twice. And I was like, oh, my God.
You were so nervous.
And then the whole thing was, my plan, I'm so glad I fucking didn't do it now, but around by one of the coves, there's the sunset. So I think it's in front of Cafe Mambo or something. Yeah. And as the sunset's right in front of the bar,
so nice.
And everyone goes and sits on the rocks. We did it the following day. But my plan was to go and do it there and then. Again, like, looking at it now, it'd be like tourist central. Would have been awful. But we had gone to, like, we'll have like a little sleep in the afternoon because we were so tired from the early morning flight. And we ended up sleeping for like 4 hours. So we woke up, and that's why I was like, oh my God, quick, we've got to get out and go for dinner. You're like, what's the rush? I'm like, oh, come on, we've got to go.
And that's what I meant.
Because I missed the sunset.
It was just a weird night, wasn't it? It was just like, you were just not yourself. And then all of a sudden we were engaged, but the ring didn't fit. Do you remember? And we had to go and buy like a...
little cheap plastic one, didn't we? And do you remember I got really drunk that night? I said I was going for a tattoo.
Honestly.
A tattoo!
We sat there. James got more and more drunk and was telling me how he... got this idea that he's going to go and get a tattoo. You know, like back in the day when drunk people go to like these resorts and just think it's a really good idea to get a tattoo.
Why do people do that?
That it's not a good idea. Much like the hair braiding, not a good idea to have your scalp exposed that way when you're on a hot holiday. Not good.
Especially if you're a pasty white tourist. Don't do it to yourself.
James just went on and on. I think in the end I just snapped and I was, go and get fucking twat. Tattooed on your head. Go on.
The night we got engaged. Hayley, everybody.
I know.
Hayley.
There you go.
I don't think, and again, I think in life and business and all this stuff,
I don't think
these big decisions, I think they're incremental. Because even like when you decide to have children, again, in the movies, like, let's have children. Then you bonk once. It's like, oh, now there's a baby. And like,
as we know, ours was like 3 years in the making.
But there's lots of like incremental steps.
Because we've always said that we just like bumble along and these things just happen. But maybe that's the same for everyone. Maybe like you say, the movies make it out like there's this big decision.
If you do, in fact, just not for like the purpose of like social media content, just to allay our fears. If you do, just bumble along.
Yeah.
On YouTube or Instagram.
Just say we're with
you. Just bumble. Can you just text the word bumble?
Bumble. Much like the word disco that James... ask people to
fucking
text.
Fucking nightmare.
You wait until you see James doing his disco roller skating. I ordered some gorgeous hot pants that are due to arrive, and as soon as they're here, that's going
to
be done.
I did not think we were going to get people to vote. I had certain people, Gary Wright, who just wrote glitter 10 times. That didn't count.
Oh, glitter. Yeah, then we moved away from that one. Yeah. But no, big decisions in life. And it's like, we're like you say, with the kid thing, I think the biggest, obviously there's so many big decisions when it comes to children, isn't there? Like, you know, even from like the birth, for example, are you going to have a water birth? Are you going to have... Yeah, hospital, home birth, like all of these things. Then are you going to breastfeed? Are you going to bottle feed? Like, it's just continual stuff. But I think one of the biggest one for me was finding a nursery. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, it took ages, didn't it?
We went round so many nurseries, and some of them, honestly, it was just like snot fest. I just remember walking in and just thinking there was just snot everywhere. Like, everyone just looked grubby and snotty, and I was like, no, I just hate every second. And then when we found the one that they go to now, it was like they were lovely, weren't they?
Yeah,
wasn't necessarily the most
some of them
glamorous.
Were like really fancy,
some
and
of them like oh yeah, we do like Annabelle Carmel menu, and I'm like, brilliant, okay, that's great. These were just
we
so
have wind
much
chime
more,
time
yeah
fuck off
these,
what
this our nursery is just so it sounds silly
they're just real
so,
people aren't
just
they
so
just loving
the
people yeah
they just generally enjoy entertaining the kids and nurturing them, so yeah, we love it. It's quite a big decision. Do you
but again,
that first
like,
day, oh my God, when we had to send Louis to nursery, he's like a really clingy child, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, it was absolutely awful.
Heartbreaking.
And I had to just like almost like hand him over, and he was crying his eyes out. Do you remember we went to the field behind and we just like went for a loop?
And we could still hear him, couldn't we?
Oh,
it's wailing.
Absolutely awful.
Because remember we took him to when we used to go to Virgin Active down the road,
yeah,
we took him into a drop-in session. They're like, he'll be absolutely fine. Leave him with us. Go and enjoy yourself.
So
15 minutes later, they phoned us. We're like, yeah, can you come and get him? Because
we just
can't
in the
calm
cafe,
him down.
Didn't we?
Yeah.
We didn't even go into the gym or anything. And they were just like, yeah, you need to come and get him. He hated it. But nursery, he actually grew to love it. He just hated leaving us, didn't he?
Yeah.
Whereas George, on the other hand, he's just like, he's straight in there. He
but
loves
even
it,
like with
it?
The kids thing, like nurseries and schools, because there's so many people I talk to who don't agree with the schooling system.
Mm.
But you still fucking send them.
Well, yeah, I'm not.
You still send them.
Yeah.
So again, you sort of make these big decisions about, and like when you think about it, with schools, you're kind of committed to being there if
for
you're doing
years.
The right thing for your kids for years. And like now we've got to live in this area. We've got to be around this area for the next like 13 years.
It's such a big thing. So we say
which is
that
a big
a lot,
thing. You
don't
think
yeah.
that it's a big thing
when
at the time.
We're off and drive. We've got some friends that live just slightly further out, a bit more country, and it's beautiful around there. Mm. And we often say, oh, like, could we live out here? But then the actual, what that would mean to move is so massive now, isn't it? Like, that would mean taking the kids out of school, moving them. It's like...
I'm only doing it if we're going to Australia.
Yeah, that's that has
I'll only
been,
rip them away from their family and break their hearts for
anyone,
a very good
if
reason.
If anyone's got any good jobs for us to do when we go to Australia, we might consider moving there. What do you reckon?
I would like to be on, what's the radio station? Nova. Hey, you're Nova in Melbourne. If Melbourne, you're Nova.
Can imagine living in Australia. Where would we live?
Melbourne.
Have to be Melbourne.
Yeah, well, obviously your brother lives there.
Okay, should we do it?
Should
we do it on a vote, or is that too?
Yeah.
Is that, or a life decision
just
on
vote.
A vote?
No, yeah, fuck
just
it.
Just write Australia.
Australia.
You think we should move to Australia? Just write Australia.
Yeah, just Oz. Just text the word Oz. And if we get 10, we'll relocate our entire family because of this podcast.
I don't think we will.
You could do it from Australia, though.
You could.
But again, this is the thing, right?
Is
you
the grass greener?
Oh, yeah.
Is it greener?
It is over there.
It's got
less pollution, mate.
And when we've been there, we've absolutely loved it. But then I suppose...
But you're in holiday mode, aren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, and working there would be different.
Yeah.
And imagine my hair in that heat all the time.
Think about it, though, your brother just done the painting and decorating for Christian O'Connell.
He did!
On Gold Radio, who used to work at Absolute Radio, which was Virgin Radio before it was Absolute. Like, he's been around and he's done XFM. Christian O'Connell is amazing.
I love Chris O'Connell.
I wonder if I could get a job as his exec producer.
Maybe.
You're Nova.
Maybe not.
Probably not as good as I think I am anyway.
Yeah.
Right, you've got a challenge for me, haven't you?
Not
is it,
yet.
Is it challenge time?
We've got to do our mug.
Oh, yes. Who's been muggy somewhere? I've forgotten all about this because it's been so long since we've done it properly.
We've been so
I can't even find my jingles.
Target?
I've lost my jingles.
Oh, get your jingle out.
Here we go. Who's a mug? Oh! Oh, that was bad, wasn't it? Let's try again. Are we all ready? At home? You ready?
Are we ready, more like?
Three, two, one.
Who's a mug? Who's a mug? Who? Have you been a mug? Who's been a mug? Come on, tell them. Who's been a mug? Have you been a mug?
So, okay.
This week's different.
It is a bit different. So, I have had lots of people that always engage with me and make sort of like, oh, it's almost a bit muggy, but it's not muggy enough, or they're not actually telling me they've done something. Muggy, that's my toe. I've spent my toe.
Are you okay?
No.
She spent her toe, guys.
Honestly, I think I've broken it. If I look under the table, have not it's broken it. Purple.
Let me have a look. Oh, fucking hell. It's absolutely fine.
It's swollen.
Get over it. Come on.
Anyway, so I have a lot of people that make reference to, that could get a mug, but they're not actually telling me they've done something muggy.
So they want the mug, but they're not prepared to admit to being muggy. No. Fuck, that's muggy in and of itself.
And so this person has often said, like, oh, I'm really thinking of something muggy, but I just can't quite think of anything that's enough. And then she wrote in, and I thought, to me, this sounds like you've been a bit of a mug. Because I appreciate...
You've been muggy.
I appreciate the commitment to the show, to watching it, but if it's going to cause you actual harm, then I think you've been a mug. So this is...
Oh, yeah, this is good.
This is Kat Slade. So she wrote in... So she's watching on YouTube, okay? She's new to YouTube. She's always been listening. Love this episode. It's the first one I've watched on YouTube because I usually listen on Spotify. Oh, a Spotify listener. I laugh too much. In brackets, just had surgery and don't want to burst my stitches, but it was worth it. I'll get the hubby to listen to this one for sure. Keep them coming. I'm building your followers in Canada. So, Kat, thank you so much for your commitment. But you have been an absolute mug.
Who's a mug? Who's a mug? Kat's been a mug.
Who's a mug? Who's a mug?
I think we've got to send her a mug, haven't we?
Kat has been a mug. Kat, I've nominated you because I love the commitment, as I say. But don't burst your stitches because you're laughing too much.
Don't do that.
It's not worth
it. Don't do that.
It's not worth it. So, Kat, I remember in that. Canada...
Cheers. Cheers, Kat Canada.
This is coming your... That was awkward, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you hate when people do that, when you go... You know when you go to, like, hug someone or, like, high five? We don't high five. But then they just, like, leave you hanging. I'm like, oh, so
embarrassing. Oh, mate, Gary always does that to you, doesn't he?
All the time. Then he Mugger. Goes, like, I'm only joking. And then he does it again. I'm like, oh, God. You
so
got
Kat
me.
So Kat is getting a
you're
mug. Wigging its
I
way
you,
all the way to...
Mug.
It's got to go all the way to Canada. You happy with that? Because you hate spending out on that, don't you?
To be honest, I'm all right. I'm getting over the shipping fees now.
Yeah, you're fine with it. Mm. Okay. Right, is it time for the special segment?
Here we go.
Come on in. Here you go. Here's some dramatic music. Hayley's special segment.
So we're talking about big decisions. So I thought I'm going to give you the hero challenge.
I'm the hero?
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to give you three scenarios.
Okay.
You're going to have three options
in each scenario
of what you're going to do.
Okay.
There's no right or wrong. It's just for our own entertainment.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Hopefully for the entertainment of others as well.
Hopefully.
Okay.
Here we go.
So this is... Okay, go on.
Scenario number one.
Hold fire.
You find yourself surrounded by a group of ninjas in a dark alley. What would you do? Number one.
Am I doing something wrong? Why am I in the alley? I need more context.
Don't be a dick. Option A. Do you channel your inner ninja skills and engage in an epic martial arts battle to defeat them all? Do you B, quickly grab a nearby trash can lid and use it as a makeshift shield, then proceed to unleash a series of hilarious clumsy manoeuvres to confuse and outsmart the ninjas? Or number three, do you start singing a catchy song and break into an impromptu dance routine, distracting the ninjas with your unexpected musical talents? What would you do?
Oh,
should have added there, would you break into song using some awful harmony that is out of your key? But I didn't.
Everybody wants Kung Fu Vanilla. I would... How many ninjas are there?
Six.
I'm going to get fucking battered, aren't I? I think I'd still want to have a go, though. I think I would grab a trash can lid and use it as a shield. And try. And even if I, like, whacked one of them, I'd be like, yes! Yes, I'd go for answer 2B, shield.
And if you were a ninja, what do you think your like special move would be?
Oh, flying roundhouse kick. Oh, it's the most fucking ninja shit ever. Yeah,
that. Love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
They use it in UFC. It looks fucking mad.
Cool.
Yeah, okay.
Scenario number two.
Come on then.
You're trapped in a room.
Oh no.
With a ticking time bomb.
Oh shit.
That will explode in 1 minute.
Right.
What would you do?
Get out of the room.
Option A.
Oh, okay.
Begin frantically cutting random wires with a pair of scissors, hoping to disable the bomb through sheer luck. Option B. Take out your smartphone, start Googling how to defuse a bomb while nervously reciting every line from action movies that involves bomb defusal.
Yeah.
Or option C, grab a nearby watermelon and place it on top of the bomb, declaring that if it explodes, at least it will be messy, fruity explosion.
I'm not doing one. It makes no sense to start cutting stuff.
No.
Absolutely no sense.
I know what I'd do.
Watermelon, I can see the concept of it, but really, it's just going to make a bigger mess. Yeah. Like, there's already going to be a mess. Yeah. I don't need to make a bigger mess. I'd definitely be Googling, because at least then you've got some resource at your fingertips to be able to
I'd Google like to say how to defuse a bomb, and then I'd probably get completely sideswiped on like Instagram, and I'd just be like scrolling down and then
person does Canva hacks,
and then
should
I'd
do
like,
Canva hacks,
oh what was I doing again, and then I'll look over and there'd just be like 1 second left and that'd be it. That'll be it. Thanks for that.
That was the sound of your brain.
Sorry, but more, this is a bit like...
The best TV series of all time.
I don't know, like the best or the most horrific. It's called The Boys. I think we've spoken about it. So when I was writing this, it is a bit like I'm in a bit of a hero zone at the minute.
Yeah.
Awful.
Okay, come on.
Scenario three.
So this is the last one, okay.
You're on a high-speed chase with villains in a stolen sports car.
Oh, okay.
What would you do?
Am I chasing them?
You're on a high-speed chase...
With
villains,
okay.
Stolen sports car, what would you do? Option A, execute a jaw-dropping drift manoeuvre around a tight corner, leaving the villains in awe of your driving skills. Option B, press a button on the dashboard that activates a hidden confetti cannon, distracting the villains with a glittery spectacle while you make a quick escape. Or option C, you suddenly realise that you left the car's sunroof open and use this to your advantage by throwing various household items like a rubber duck or a toaster at the pursuing villains to keep them at bay. What would you do?
Okay, so they're chasing me in the car.
They're chasing you.
Okay.
Obvious what you're going to do.
First and foremost, I want to know, like, what have I done to be chased by villains? The drifting manoeuvre. I like it.
But again, so handbrake turn.
Yeah, is it going to be enough to get them?
Wheel spin.
Is that going to be enough to get them out of your way?
Well,
who knows?
They're just left in awe. They stop. He's so good. He's so cool.
No, I think confetti cannon.
Yeah,
much
love
more
it.
Fun.
Imagine.
At least I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory.
Love it. You get away. You get away.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to glitter them, and then you're going to go.
Okay.
And they're going to be like sat there going, "Oh my god, what just happened?" Imagine that.
And now they just stop chasing me.
Yeah.
Okay. So for all questions, I'm going B.
Love it. Going
B.
Is it all B?
All B.
Wow.
Yeah,
what does that say about you?
I like to be correct. Hey! Who's not having a good time?
Have a giggle.
Is that it? Is that it?
That's it.
Is that it done? All right, lovely.
Wow, you really like putting into that, didn't you?
Well, I didn't know.
Is that it? Oh, yeah. Will you come up with something next time, James? If it's not good enough.
Okay.
If it's not up to your standards.
Okay. Okay.
Come on then, give me one. Come on. Let's do it.
I'm going to press the wrong jingle now.
I can do it.
Okay. Somebody comes up to you because they know that you're Hayley from Orange Lamb. You look at their website and they've got substandard branding. It's not aligned with their perfect message.
They're not
consistent with their target audience. Do you A, give them some free tips and advice? Do you B, create a Canva course because all you ever do is talk about fucking making a Canva course? Or do you C, pitch them your £4,500 brand overhaul package, which includes a fantastic website, social media and consultancy?
By the way, your jaw looked really horrible.
You know, when people say... People say that I'm like a horrible sex pest to you.
You are.
You're a vicious little troll to me.
Good. Put a little troll in, Ali. Hello, Ali.
Go on, what would you do?
None of those things, what, because I listen and I wouldn't project myself
on
someone.
Oh, fuck off. Here we go.
From
oh, my good God. So, that's how we work at Orange Lamb.
Yeah,
Orange
Lamb. I'm all about listening. I wouldn't just tell people like what
you're all
to
about
do.
Listening?
Apart from when it comes to you. But
wow.
Yeah.
Nose whistle then. I'm all about listening. Anyway, hopefully you've enjoyed today's podcast. Thanks for sticking with us as we talk about navigating big decisions in life and business. I've done it again. Big decisions in life and business. Hopefully, if you're having a big decision, if you're navigating, we've been your co-pilot for the navigation.
Oh, I like it. I want a pilot's hat.
We'll be back. I'd like to have a pilot's hat. Oh, yeah. I'd like to be in a pirate outfit.
Pirate?
Did you say pirate?
Pilot.
Oh, two different things.
Oh, no, didn't know
that
was your thing.
No, I didn't know either.
Oh,
just been here. If you enjoyed this podcast, give us a 5-star review wherever the fuck you give reviews. If you're on YouTube, slag us off. We couldn't give a fuck.
Simon,
and we'll see you again. Yeah, piss off, Simon. Piss off, Abbott. We'll see you next week for another installment of the Business Marriage Podcast. We love it. Goodbye.
This show is a Phonic Media production.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.